Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Stories about a drug shortage have been in the headlines nationally of late, and a new assessment of the situation by the University of Utah confirms we have a problem. Joining me now to talk about the situation is Dr. Erin Fox. She is the manager of the Drug Information Service at University of Utah Healthcare and an associate professor in the Department of Pharmacotherapy. Did I say that right?
Pharmacotherapy.
Thanks very much, Dr. Fox, for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me on. This is a really complicated problem.
If you've run out of a medication lately, how did you work with doctors or pharmacists to keep you healthy? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Dr. Fox, you were able to track the drug shortages nationally from 2001 to the end of last year. You noted that in 2001, there were 120 drugs in short supply. By last December, there were 267 medications that were running short. Before we get into the reasons why, what do we mean by drug shortage? How do you define that?
Sure. So we track national drug shortages at our Drug Information Service, and we do this for our national pharmacy organization, the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. And what we mean by a shortage is when a pharmacy can't get the medication that they need to supply to their patients. So sometimes we can still get the same drug, but we might have to do something different when we dispense it. And really, most of the drugs on the shortage list are really hospital drugs. These are injectable products, and they're also generic products.
Okay. Your numbers show that there was a marked increase in the drug shortages between 2010 and 2011. What's going on there?
Well, you know, for the past 5 years, we've had a record-breaking year every year, which is really unfortunate. Why we're seeing so many shortages is, again, these are generic injectable drugs, and we actually don't have very many companies that make those drugs. And unfortunately, many of the companies that do make the drugs are having pretty severe manufacturing problems. And those problems take a long time to fix, and they've been compounded by one company after another. And sometimes multiple companies that make the same drug are having problems at the same time.
I don't want to pinpoint certain drugs because there are over 250 of them, but some of the drugs in short supply, the most acute shortage is a category called CNS. What is CNS?
Sure. Those are drugs that affect your central nervous system. So it's a very broad category of drugs. It captures pain medicine. It captures, medicines for ADHD, all different types of medicines that really impact your central nervous system.
And I noticed that the next in line in terms of shortages is antibiotics. These are infection-fighting drugs. That really doesn't sound like a good thing to run out of.
No, and you know, the antibiotics that we have shortages of are really some of our older drugs that have been around for years, and now they're only made by one or two companies. And when those one or two companies have manufacturing problems, that's when we have a shortage.
Another hot spot seems to be chemotherapy drugs, and I would imagine it can be quite dangerous to run out of certain medications during a very intense treatment cycle like chemotherapy can be.
The chemotherapy drugs are probably the most difficult shortage that we've had to deal with. And if you look at the overall trend, we really didn't have many chemotherapy shortages until about 2010. And one of the big reasons we had a jump was one factory closed in April of 2010 for manufacturing problems. And about a third of the drugs that company produced there were chemotherapy drugs. And unfortunately, we don't have enough manufacturers who could take up the slack. Now, when you have a chemotherapy drug shortage, we don't have evidence in many cases for switching out drugs in the middle of therapy. And so what we do at University of Utah hospitals and clinics is we make sure that we track through the patients that need the chemotherapy, and we match that with our stock on hand. We work really closely with our prescribers so that they understand what our supply situation is. Mm. And we've been very lucky at our hospital and at the Huntsman Cancer Institute, and we haven't really had to have many delays in treatment or major glitches where a patient comes in for therapy and they're turned away.
Lucky. I don't like that word. Relying on luck. We're talking with Dr. Erin Fox, manager of the Drug Information Service at University of Utah Healthcare. She's also an associate professor in the Department of Pharmacotherapy. And if you'd like to join us about the drug shortage controversy, if you've run out of a medication yourself, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Your charts and graphs show that cardiovascular drugs are in short supply, electrolytes, hormone therapy. Is this a crisis?
I think it is a national healthcare crisis. And when hospitals across the country have to spend, some people have staff that do nothing but spend all day on the phone working to make sure that their pharmacy is in line to get an allocation of medicine for their patients. Hospitals are spending a tremendous amount of time monitoring these shortages, really working to minimize the impact for patients. But at the same time, there's a cost because the time that the people are spending to manage those shortages is obviously taking away time from something else that they were normally doing.
And is the shortage acute in certain areas? Is there some sort of geography to this problem, or is it widespread across the nation? We're seeing drug shortages in certain categories.
That's a great question. Most of the time, it's very widespread. Again, it's across all categories, across all of the 50 states. And one of the reasons why that is drugs are distributed in our country very broadly. There are three large wholesalers that supply most of the country, and they're not really geographically disparate. So really, the shortage is a national problem. It's a national healthcare crisis when we don't have the medicines that we need to treat our patients.
And does it extend internationally, beyond our borders?
It does. Some people have suggested, well, perhaps we should get medications from Canada. And unfortunately, Canada is having a very severe drug shortage, very similar to ours. In some cases,
they've got their own problems.
Exactly. And other countries also have shortages as well. Also, with Canada, really their whole country is, the market size is about the size of California. So if you think about it, they honestly don't have the medications to supply our entire United States.
Nothing to spare. Again, we're speaking with Dr. Erin Fox, manager of the Drug Information Service at the University of Utah Healthcare. I'm very naive, but I think if a doctor prescribes a brand name drug, well, surely there's a generic that will do. So when we talk about shortages, are we talking about, the Bayer aspirin, the brand name, or are the generics able to fill the gap at all, or not so much?
Well, in most of the cases with these hospital drugs, they're generic products, and there aren't any brand name products left. So the brand name products have left the market long ago, years ago, and now there are maybe two or three generic suppliers. So in many cases, the medication is only available as a generic product.
So what's a consumer to do? How are doctors and pharmacists sort of juggling around this problem? Can they?
Absolutely. So pharmacists around the country are really devoted to making sure that the impact to patients is minimized. And in some cases, we can also minimize the impact to the prescribers, where we can figure out a way to still supply the same drug. But some consumers have unfortunately run into a situation where perhaps they can't fill their ADHD medication. Mm-hmm. That's really been problematic. And in those cases, it is difficult. The patients are terribly inconvenienced. I've heard stories of having to go to 10, 12 different pharmacies to see if someone has their medication, having to get new prescriptions from physicians. But overall, the overall effort is to really minimize the impact to patients. But at the same time, there is a cost, and we do want to highlight that this is, as much as we're minimizing the impact, it's still a very significant problem.
What do you mean by a cost?
Well, there's labor costs, certainly. I mentioned that hospitals all over the country have people simply devoted to managing drug shortages. And that certainly wasn't the case even 3 years ago.
Your charts seem to show that much of the problem, or at least a quarter of the problem, is due to manufacturing. Supply and demand also an issue. But the the largest chunk, 54% of these drug shortages have an unknown cause. What does that tell you?
Well, obviously that's not a real reason. Unknown. What does that mean?
Right.
But when we investigate these shortages, we talk directly with the manufacturers. And in most of the cases, they decline to provide a reason. So that's why we have to list unknown on the website. And obviously there is a reason. FDA tells us that in more than half of cases, manufacturing problems are the reason for these shortages. And I think that's the real story here. Why are we having such terrible manufacturing problems in our country? And it sounds like our factories are crumbling around us if you read some of the reports.
Mm. Well, not only are doctors and pharmacists juggling to find a solution, but legislators are getting into the act. There's something called the Prescription Drug User Fee Act. Do you have a sense of what that would do? And would it solve the problem, do you think?
Well, I have heard that some legislators are interested in adding some potential solutions on to that Prescription Drug User Fee Act. And I haven't seen anything finalized yet. I think one of the problems with drug shortages is there are so many different reasons why they're happening and so many causes that are really unknown. We don't actually know the root cause of why we're having manufacturing problems. And so when we have so many unknowns, I think it makes it really difficult to target a specific solution.
Mm. Senator Hatch is allegedly working on changing reimbursement of drugs to spur investment. Do you think that kind of legislation would work? I mean, I don't know.
Well, we've been really interested in working with the senator's staff, and we have been having really good conversations about that. Again, where most of the problems are in manufacturing, I would certainly like to see some solutions targeted at fixing the manufacturing problems. Whether or not reimbursement would fix that is kind of an unknown in my mind.
Mm-hmm. As you have tracked these shortages over a number of years, the trends seem to be going to be pointing to an increasing problem. Where do we go from here? And how long can we sustain these kinds of dramatic increases in drug shortages?
You know, each year at the end of the year, we've been asking ourselves that question. I think what we're doing is working as hard as we can to raise awareness of the topic. And we know that the companies are working to increase their capacity and working to fix their factories. They talked about that. FDA held a public workshop at the end of September. Mm-hmm. And they presented on that. And we know that they are working hard at it, but it takes time. You can't change a factory overnight. When a company shuts down, even for just a few weeks, it often takes a year or more for that shortage to fully resolve, because we have no resiliency in our supply chain to make up for it.
Just a few seconds left, but do you think enough attention is being paid to this problem?
I talk to reporters a couple times a week, and that's been going on for the past year, so I hope so. I hope so.
Dr. Erin Fox, she is the manager of the Drug Information Service at University of Utah Healthcare, an associate professor in the Department of Pharmacotherapy. And Dr. Fox, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley. Jesse Ellis is our technical director, and Ryan Cron composed our theme music. And you can continue the discussion online at kcpw.org. Next time, we're talking about sharing a bed with your baby, the benefits and the risks of co-sleeping. So join us for that discussion tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.